بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone. أهلا وسهلا، مرحبا بكم إن شاء الله تعالى. I hope you are all well and welcome to our next lesson where we are looking at three important figures amongst many of the Hanafi tradition. Before I begin, it's important that when we look at people of the past, we look at them holistically. So we look at where they lived. So last lesson, we talked about certain areas, Khurasan, and in particular, we looked at the city of Kufa. But we also look at their texts. We also look at how they are connected with one another. So another perspective, which I want to show you today, is that we can trace how texts and scholars are connected. Often, in certain settings, certain madrasa settings, students are given a text to read, but they aren't informed about how that text came about, the genesis of that text, the coming together of that text over history. So I want to do that with you today through three texts, three authors and three texts, which you will see inshallah ta'ala. I've also, I can share this as a separate document, inshallah, as a screenshot, but I've also been preparing a map of our authors, which you will see, inshallah ta'ala, even briefly in today's session, inshallah ta'ala. So who am I looking at? Who are we looking at? Well, we're looking at three texts, two texts in particular, and we are looking at two scholars or three scholars in particular during our video today, inshallah ta'ala. The three texts is the Hidayah, very famous text. The other text is Quduri. And we'll briefly touch upon Badar Sana'i, which is also an important text as well. In terms of the authors, their names are there. Burhanuddin Barghinani, 593 Hijri. Imam Quduri, as he's known, who died in 428 Hijri. And of course, Imam Kasani, who passed away in 587 Hijri. What I want to do with you today is talk about the first offer, but I think it's very, very important for a number of reasons, as you will see. So his name is Ali ibn Abi Bakr ibn Abdul Jalil al-Marghinani. He hails from a place called Marghinan. You can Google that and find it on the map in the Farghana province of what's called Transoxiana. As is the case with many Central Asian Hanafi scholars, we have scant information about Marghinani, or it's very, very brief. It just gives a little information about his life. Imam Zahabi, for example, the one that we mentioned last week and is an important scholar in terms of history and the biography of ulama of the past, after noting that al-Marghinani lived in what's called, he was an alim of Ma Wara al-Nahr, he simply states that he was the author of Hidayah and another text called Bidayah, and he says, Lam tablughna akhbaru. His information about him or his details about his life have not reached us. But we get from other sources a more colorful picture of his life. He's reported to have been born in 511 Hijri, and he studied with his maternal grandfather, whose name was Umar ibn Habib ibn Ali al-Zandramisi, who was a leading student of Aqadi, we talked about Aqadi before, judges, Ahmad ibn Abdul Aziz Zawzani. After his death, the death of his maternal grandfather, he studied with someone very, very important, and maybe later on in the future we'll talk about him, Imam Saraqsi, known as Shamsul A'imma. Shamsul A'imma, Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Abi Sahal Saraqsi, who died around 483 Hijri. Imam Saraqsi is very, very important for a number of reasons. I have a student, a Turkish student, who is completing, inshallah, a PhD on Imam Saraqsi and his work when it comes to hadith studies. We'll talk about that some other time. There are many other ulama that he studied with. I'm not going to go through all of their details. You can find that in, for example, in a piece of excellent work that's been written by a good friend of mine, Dr. Suhail Hanif. His PhD is a must read for those of you who are interested in this particular scholar. And his work. So a lot of my talking today will be based on his PhD, in fact, and more. So the Hidayah is an important book You know, we have quotes about it being praised. So I have a quote in front of you here from Katib Shalabi in his Kashf al-Zunun and Asam al-Kutub al-Funun. He says, verily the Hidayah, like the Quran, has abrogated the books of sacred law. They are offered from afar. In other words, it's like how the Quran has abrogated books before. The Hidayah abrogated books that have come before it, i.e. fit books that have come before it. So guard its principles and tread its pathways. Your words will be saved from deviation and falsities. In other words, this is an important book that we should all be aware of. Surah Al-Anif in his PhD, I've given reference there, traces how he had learned from, or his lineage back to Imam Saraqsi, Shamsul Aimma, and you can see that lineage there in front of you. I'm not going through these scholars. You can read all these scholars or about these scholars in the thesis, or you can read books of Tariq and Tabqat to gain a deep understanding of him. And this is also another diagram which shows us how he was connected to jurists from Samarqand. So the top one, or the previous one, this is how he is connected to scholars from Bukhara, and this is how he is connected to scholars from Samarqand. This takes another entire time to go into how there's a difference between Hanafis and Samarqand and Bukhara. I have touched upon it in previous lectures. You can watch it there, or you can reach out, and maybe some other time we can talk about them, inshallah ta'ala. So that's just a introduction to Imam Marghinani. I don't want to go into too much, because the whole lecture will just be about the great Imam himself. Imam Marghinani is very, very important, because his text, the Hidayah, some of you might have heard of it or might have studied it. It's an advanced text in the Hanafi Madhab, and it really deals with some of the important conversations, and it teaches students how to think through masail, so questions. There's a dialectic, there's a juddle, there's the masail, and then he will say, you know, well, somebody might say this, or Shafi'is might say this, and then he'll respond to them. So students are taught how to think, how to reason with hadith, how to make sense. They are taught usul, how to make sure that their reasoning is consistent, and the legal reasoning that they use, the ma'ani, are embedded in the Quran and Sunnah. So this is a very, very important text. And anyone, I would say to friends, that anyone who can teach Hidayah really well is a sign that they are indeed a master in the Hanafi Mazhab. It does have some prerequisites. Of course, the language of Arabic is important. Usul is important. But some logic is also very, very important, just to help you to make sense of this text. It's a beautiful text. There are lots of virtues about it. He spent a lot of time putting this text together. And they said that he was fasting when he wrote his text, and he was always in a state of purity. But the idea was that he took this endeavor on very, very seriously. And it's an important text for everybody to read, inshallah ta'ala. What I want to do now is move on to the Mukhtasar. And this is also an important genre that we should all be aware of. And to do that, I want to move on to a broader conversation of how these texts came about. The Mukhtasar, and how does the Hidayah come about? And the reason this is important, before I go into more detail, is that to understand the Hidayah, you have to understand Quduri. And when you understand Quduri, you can move forward to understanding texts like we're looking at today, Imam Kasari's text as well. So the Hidayah and Quduri, Quduri comes first, Hidayah comes, and Kasari, Imam Kasari's Bada Sana'i comes later on. To understand all of these texts, you have to really put them together in a broader map. So when you talk about legal studies, many of you will be familiar with Mukhtasar. These are texts that are abridged versions, the compendiums, or they are often known as primers. And they are shorter works, and they are organized. And what they have is the legal cases all together, the core legal cases that were talked about in teaching sessions and during works of legal commentary. And they are usually summarizing the agreed upon view of that particular school. So they are the most surest expression of what the madhab follows. There may be differences, but they are the most surest expression of what a particular madhab follows as well. In other words, they are the surest expression or transmission of the sunnah, or explanation of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And of course, scholars write commentaries on these Mukhtasars. So Mukhtasars are usually shorter texts. The Quduri is a good example of one that we will look at. And the Mukhtasar on which Imam Marghinani comments on in the Hidayah is a text called Bidayatul Mubtadi, which is actually his own text. He offered this text himself. And I want to look at Mukhtasar and why they are important. Now, Bidayatul Mubtadi is not really actually an original work. Imam Marghinani himself, in his introduction to this Mukhtasar that he compiled, he says that he took it from two other works. And these two works are really, really important. So the two texts that he took them from, one was the Jami Saghir of Imam Muhammad Shaybani, who we've already looked at. And the other one was the Quduri of Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Quduri. So the Hidayah or the Bidayatul Mubtadi, Imam Marghinani, he says, this is not original work. I'm taking from two scholars that have come before me. Now, notice the death dates of both of these teachers that he's taking from, both of these scholars that he's taking from. Imam Muhammad, of course, is in the early generation, died 189. Imam Quduri comes later on. So we look at this. Why is it that he's taken from two books, but those both of those books, both of those authors are quite far apart? And this tells us a lot about authority, number one, how certain texts became authoritative, but it also shows to us how the mazahib came together and in certain texts were seen as a culmination, as a coming together of centuries of debate and conversations amongst ulama. And so these two works are very, very important, very, very authoritative, and they give us an insight that at the time of Marghinani, Sahibi Hidayah, the author of Hidayah, these texts were very, very important. And so the Mukhtasar of Imam Quduri can be really considered the first grand Mukhtasar of the Hanafi school. This is just an image of one type, one print that you can copy. Every student studies this in Madrasa. This is probably the first, one of the first texts that a Darul Uloom student is exposed. It's just a primer. And it's a very important text. Lots of commentary has been written on this. This is like the fundamental. Everybody studies this if they're studying the Hanafi Mazhab. And this text itself eclipsed earlier works. And it became the basis for subsequent Hanafi Mukhtasars to come later on. And so the story of Quduri is very much tied not only to the story of the Hidayah. So Imam Quduri and Imam Marghinani, even though there's time between them, they are both intertwined in terms of they present, the Quduri in particular presents the authoritative position of the Hanafi Mazhab. And it presents the core doctrine around which the Mazhab develops. So this is an important text as well. We're going to look at this text a little bit more, inshallah ta'ala. And the first thing we can do is to situate Quduri's Mukhtasar amongst early Mukhtasars across the legal schools. The second is what we can do is we situate Quduri's Mukhtasar among early Hanafi Mukhtasars. And the third thing we can do is very, very important, is that we assess the source of Hanafi doctrine that contributed to the case of Mukhtasar. Okay, and so we can do this in various ways, which I want to do. But I'm going to, before I do that, I want to move on to this text as well, because this was the second text which came into the Hidayah, found its way into Hidayah. And this is the Jami' al-Saghir of Imam Muhammad, who we've already looked at a little bit before. So these are two texts that I want to introduce as a way to understand Imam Marghinani, but also to come back to Imam Quduri. We've already talked about Imam Muhammad al-Shaybani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Okay, so within the Hanafi school, the first text that provided a core of authoritative Hanafi doctrine around which the commentary tradition developed were the two Jamis. The two Jamis were attributed to Imam Muhammad Shaybani, the Jami al-Saghir in front of you, and Jami al-Kabir. These are texts that are no longer sadly taught in a madrasa for various reasons, but are important texts to understand the early growth of the Hanafi Mazhab. Of course, as you know, these texts were then, if you like, swallowed by other texts. So it's not that you don't read them directly, but you read them indirectly. And there was a lot of commentary around these two works, especially in the 4th century. And this was when the madhab was really coming together in the 4th century. These texts themselves were authoritative in the 6th century as well, even where Imam Marghilani was. And if you look at Imam Marghilani's biography, for example, you'll find that he studied these works of Imam Muhammad himself, including the Jami' al-Saghir and the Jami' al-Kabir of Imam Muhammad. So he had studied them very, very carefully. And he mentions who he studied this with as well, and we have that all written down as well. Imam Marghilani also justifies his incorporation of Jami' al-Saghir into his book, the Bidayat al-Mubtadi, which he says that I saw the great ones of the age in the lands of Mawara al-Nahr, Transoxiana, encouraging the young and the old to memorize the Jami' al-Saghir. So this book was actually memorized by people, highlighting the active role this text played in the teaching curriculum. So this book was very, very important as well. And there were many commentaries in the milieu, in the world that Imam Marghilani lived in. Imam Marghilani himself offered a commentary in his book, as did his contemporaries, including people like Qazi Khan and others as well. His teacher, Sadr Shaheed, Umar ibn Maza, he actually wrote 2 or 3 commentaries on the work. And so this book became very, very important. And many, many others wrote books on this. For example, just to give an example, leading grand teachers such as Shamsul A'im al-Halwani, Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, Imam Abu al-Mu'in al-Nasafi, Imam Saraksi, Abu Shamsul A'im al-Saraksi, Fakhrul Islam Bazdawi, Abu Yasir al-Bazdawi, they all wrote on this book. So you can tell you that great scholars had to master and write. This was a way of showing that they had understood the book, because one of the ways of showing your knowledge in a text or understanding a text or a tradition is to write commentaries. Now, the book itself, when you peruse through it, it's a very short text of legal rules. It's organized into roughly 40 chapters. And the organization of them is attributed to Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan. And this is what Imam Marghilani himself believes as well, because in the introduction to his Bidayat al-Mubtadi, he says himself that the organization of Jami' al-Saghir was superior to the organization of Muqtasid al-Quduri. So he said, I followed it out of seeking blessings through that which was chosen by Muhammad ibn Hassan. This is showing that the proximity to the great Imam Abu Hanifa was also important to him. However, when you look at the cases within this text, they're not presented in the way that we're used to, in a topic-wise order. For example, when you look at things to do with Tahara, they kind of appear at random points during the topics of the prayer, for example, in the opening of Kitab al-Salah. And then later on, people reorganize this text to make it more palatable. But the book itself was never meant to be a text that was a complete coverage of it. What it's meant to do is that it gets the student to think about the reason behind Masail. So it's not teaching you the answers, it's teaching you how to think through questions, think through usul, think through Masail. Okay? And this is why memorizing the text and its underlying meanings do things. To understand, to memorize the text and to understand what's actually going on, which is missing today in many, many circles, to think about what is actually the purpose of this question, why is this question being asked. If you could do those two, memorization and understand its meaning, this was a mark that you understood the Hanafi madhab. Right? Too many people can parrot answers, but they're not able to think through the answer itself. Why did we come to the answer? What is the reason behind this? And so a sign of a great scholar, a great alim, is that not only do they give you the answer, which everybody can do now, you have Google that does that for you, but the sign of a great alim is that he's able to think it through, able to explain it for you, able to lay it out for you. Okay? So to be able to recall and explain the cases of the book shows that you have a deep grasp of the legal meanings underpinning its cases. Imam Saraksi quotes his master Al-Halwani saying, no one should belittle Jami' al-Saghir. And Imam Shaybani was understood to have crafted the work explicitly for the purpose of advanced juristic training. He's reported to have said, whoever learns Jami' al-Saghir in its reality, al haqiqa, is permitted to issue fatwas. The bar was really high in those times to become a scholar, par excellence. And this book was held as a work of Imam Shaybani's direct authorship, right? And this is why it's foundational in the transmission of the Hanafi Mazhab. But there's also other things. The focus on transmission, like hadith works, also underlines the idea, which I've talked about before, the intended role of the work as one to document authoritative transmission of Hanafi doctrine. So there's also an important isnad element here as well. And it gained huge amount of interest, not just amongst Hanafi fuqaha, but also muhaddithin. So for example, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, who died in 198, and even Yahya ibn Ma'in, who died in 233, they studied the text. For example, we know that Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan studied with Imam Abu Yusuf, and Yahya ibn Ma'in studied this with Imam Shaybani. So this idea I've been talking about in previous lectures, that the Hanafis didn't know hadith, it's complete nonsensical. People just don't understand how the Hanafi Mazhab works. You'll see the internet is awash with these accusations, simple, idiotic accusations that the Hanafi Mazhab was not based on hadith. If you read the text very, very carefully, you understand how the Mazhab works, you'll be convinced that the matter is actually otherwise. Okay, so it gives you an understanding of a deeper implication as well. The majority of the commentaries that were written on Jami' al-Saghir and Jami' al-Kabir were in the 4th century, and they were from a particular place, we know, from Iraq. And it's safe to assume, or it would be assumed, that Imam Quduri, who was an Iraqi jurist from the end of the 14th century, as we've seen, would have taken these texts of al-Shaybani as the basis for his Mukhtasar, okay? His own commentary, his own short summary, if you like, rather than a commentary, I should say, of Hanafi rules, okay? But as we will see, inshallah, later on, Imam Quduri didn't just rely on these texts. He had a whole array of other texts, which I want to talk about. Imam Qadhi, Imam Tahawi will be introduced.